Thank you for your word. Thank you for the entrance of the same that brings light and clarity. Thank you for illumination on our path. Thank you for our minds influenced by the word of truth tonight. Thank you because we are more effective in walking in that which is ours. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Every time we want to talk about the things of the Spirit, we go to 1 Corinthians 12 because Paul has not written another letter. Hallelujah. By the time Paul writes another letter concerning spiritual gifts, we'll be going there. Amen. But we'll always consult this chapter of the Bible in the New Testament because this is where Paul majorly addresses the things concerning the Spirit. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that every other aspect of Scripture is not of the Spirit, as we shall see tonight. But this is focused on the manifestation. Glory to God. So at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a study tonight, which might last for a time and more, is on the manifestation of the Spirit. So at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 1, Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Now concerning spiritual gifts, if you have a good Bible, gift is in italics. So that means it's not in the originals. What we have in the originals is "now concerning spirituals." Hallelujah. "Now concerning" what? "Spirituals, I will not have you ignorant." When Paul says, "I will not have you ignorant," he was talking about the fact that these things are known as men are well informed or taught. The things of the Spirit are to be taught. The things of the Spirit must be received via teaching. Let me say, knowledge of how to walk in the things of the Spirit must come via teaching. It is Paul's manner of speaking when he says, "I would not have you ignorant." That is, you must be taught. Praise God. We don't subject the things of the Spirit to assumptions, to chances, just like many other things. It's Paul's manner of speaking. You find it in Romans chapter 1 verse 13. When Paul wants to inform them of something they need to know. Romans 1:13, he says, I would not have you ignorant that I plan to come to you. And then you find in other places, you find that Romans 11:25, he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery." Talking about the fact that the children of Israel, or let me say the Jews, are God's chosen people. Amen. I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery because it's important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You find him use the same phrase at 2 Corinthians 1:8, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 also. "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who are falling asleep." That is, you need to know about these things. You need to be taught. You need to be informed. Glory to God. Now, when we say people are ignorant, it's either they are not taught or they have refused to be taught. Men are ignorant either because there are no teachers, or sometimes a teacher is available and the man has chosen to not receive teaching. That's why the Greek word for ignorant there means to not know. It also means to ignore. So it can be that you don't know because you don't have access to information, or you have access to information and you choose to reject it. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit must be taught. And if men are not taught, they will be ignorant. If men are taught and they don't pay attention to the teaching, they will also be ignorant. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see how Paul used it in some places? You see a willful rejection on the part of the listeners or the recipients. Romans chapter 10, verse 3, Bible says, "For they being ignorant..." Okay, let me start from verse 1. "Brethren, I bear you witness, I have my heart's desire and zeal for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Now look up. Were the children of Israel totally unaware of the righteousness of God? Why were they ignorant? Because they chose to not receive. Hallelujah. They chose to not accept what Paul said, or what the apostles had said. Not just the apostles, what the prophets had been saying to them. That's why it's in the same Romans chapter 10. Look at this now. That Paul says that, does Israel not know? Are we saying Israel has not heard? Romans 10. Hallelujah. Romans in chapter 10. And I'll read from verse 14. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful at the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Israel, Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I'll provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I'll move you to anger by a foolish nation. So, Israel had knowledge. They had access to the knowledge of God's righteousness, but they chose to ignore it. So, their ignorance is a willful one. Glory to God. And then today we find people too in the body of Christ who are ignorant of the things of the Spirit, not because there is no teaching, but because they have chosen to not receive it. Do you know how many people we still battle with on the issue of tongues? Some believers don't believe that every believer can pray in tongues. Some believers do not believe that every believer can just at will begin to talk in tongues. Something must fall on you suddenly, and then you explain, you take them through scriptures, you take your time, and they choose to not receive. Ignorance can be as a result of not having a teacher. It can also be that you receive teaching and then you say no. Hallelujah. So what category is yours tonight? You have received. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at this other place. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 38. Ignorance can be as a result of ignoring knowledge or not having access to knowledge. 1 Corinthians 14 38. Are you still in church? 1 Corinthians 14 and 38. This used to be a scripture that used to baffle me some years back. I mean, why would Paul say this? Praise God. Bible says, if any man is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Hallelujah. Now, it sounds as though Paul is saying, if a man is ignorant, just leave him, let him perish with his ignorance. No. He's saying if a man ignores, hallelujah, if a man ignores the things I'm writing, let him also be ignored. Do you know why? The opposite is what he has mentioned in the preceding verses. From verse 36, he says, or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it only you that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge. The word acknowledge means to recognize fully, to be acquainted with the things I'm saying. Let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone ignores what I'm saying, let him be ignored. Hallelujah. So that's the same word. So when Paul says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. It means I don't want you to either not know or to not appreciate or receive the things concerning the Spirit. To not ignore it. Hallelujah. To not what? Ignore it. Praise God. So there are no assumptions in the things of the Spirit. There's no room for assumptions. There's no room for what you think or what you feel. It must be based on knowledge. Hallelujah. There must be teaching, and we must be well informed from God's word. Praise God. So, back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spirituals. The word spirituals there is the Greek word pneumaticos. Pneumaticos is spelled P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. Pneumaticos. You are familiar with the word spirit. You know spirit is from the word pneuma. So pneumaticus is things concerning the spirit. Pneumaticus also means supernatural. That's all. It just means something that which is supernatural. It means that which pertains to the spirit. That's why I said it is not just about the gift. It's about everything pertaining to the spirit. Glory to God. Now listen, it is not just everything pertaining to the Spirit of God. All that has to do with the Spirit. In fact, the word pneumaticus means that which belongs to a spirit, which is higher than man, but inferior to God. That's one definition. A spirit higher than man, but inferior to God. It also means that which pertains to the divine Spirit of God. So it could either be of God or to not be of God. And you know, this is key because of his audience. We're going to see. So the things concerning the spirit is all that has to do with the supernatural. Paul is trying to address the things concerning the supernatural. He wants the Corinthian church to be well informed about the supernatural. Hallelujah. Because the supernatural, or what we call the spirit, is so vast. It's so vast you can get lost chasing the supernatural, and then you are already out of order or out of line. Praise God. And we're going to see. So it's very key. Concerning spiritual things, concerning the supernatural, or that which is not carnal. So it is not just about the gift, it's about all that pertains to the spirit. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. See how this word pneumaticus is used? It's always about many things. It is not just about some things. It's about all that pertains to the Spirit. Now for the Christian, it's all that pertains to the Spirit of Christ. But it goes beyond that. Romans 1 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 1, 11. Are you there? Paul speaking says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." Paul is talking to the, he's writing to the Roman church, and then he says to them, "I long to impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." Now the word spiritual here is the same word pneumaticus. And then Paul is not talking about just laying on of hands. There's been a lot of debate about this particular verse. Was Paul seeking to go and lay hands on them, or to pray for them, get them healed, or to, you know, minister things of the Spirit to them, or was he going to preach the gospel? Well, both. Hallelujah. Why is it both? Look at verse 12. "That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." Now, verse 12 is very key. He says, "I want to impart to you spiritual gifts that we might be mutually encouraged." Amen. Not just that, the context from verse 7 already shows you that what Paul, one of the things that Paul sought to go and do in the Roman church is what he's already doing through his letters. Hallelujah. That which he was eager to go and do in Rome is what he's already doing in this letter. So from verse 7, look at what he says. He says, "To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." Hallelujah. "For I long to see you that I may do what? I may impart to you some spirit." So, when Paul heard about their faith, he began to long to be among them. He began to desire to be with them. Why? So it would impart to them some spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. What are these gifts? What was he seeking to go and do? Look at verse 13. He says, "Now I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now." What is this hindrance? We'll find out. "That I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles." Why was Paul seeking to go to the Roman church? To have some fruit among them. Hallelujah. What is the fruit? How do we have fruit in a place? Huh? So, preaching the gospel, right? Okay, let's see. So it says in verse 14, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Verse 15, let's read together. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So what was he seeking to go and do in Rome? So to impart to you spiritual things, what's that spiritual thing? The gospel. And then what? The things that pertain to the gospel. Let's see. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Glory to God. So he had a desire to go preach. To go preach the gospel. Hallelujah. To impart to them spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. See how Paul used the word impart also. It's the same Greek word. The first thing an apostle or a preacher of the gospel will seek to impart to men will not be gifts of the Spirit and all those things. It will be the gospel. Because signs and wonders are meant to be attendant to the preaching of God's word. So Paul was not going to Rome to just go and display power and display signs and wonders. He was going to Rome to preach. That is what he referred to as imparting to them spiritual gifts. And that word spiritual is the word pneumaticus. So you see, the point I'm trying to make is the things of the Spirit begins with the gospel. Hallelujah. It begins with the gospel. So when you see concerning spirituals, you should not just assume he's talking about just the gifts. The spirituals for us in Christ is first about the message. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. See how Paul used the word? Impart. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. Paul speaking, he says, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you have become dear to us. What were they seeking to impart to them? The gospel. And then in imparting the gospel to them, we'd also impart to you our own lives. That is, you know, the word impart there means to share and to give. So we were seeking to give you the gospel. And in giving you the gospel, we're seeking to give you ourselves also. We're willing to share our lives with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Also, the word established at Romans 1:11 is used primarily for the gospel. It is by the gospel men get established. People don't get established just by you laying hands on them or ministering some gifts to them. People get established by the preaching and the teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Hallelujah. The word established as used at Romans 1:11 is the same word used at Romans 16, 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. How does God establish? How does God establish? It is very instructive that this is written in the same book. So at Romans 1:11, it mentions to establish them by imparting to them things. And then at the close of that letter, it says God is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. According to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Look at 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Verse 17, God establishes men in Christ Jesus by the preaching ministry, majorly by the teaching ministry. So Paul was not seeking to go to Rome to establish them without the preaching of the gospel. So the gospel is spiritual. Hallelujah. We can't be talking about things of the Spirit and then just bypass the gospel. The gospel is the major supernatural. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are you following this? 2 Thessalonians 2:17. Look at this now. Bible says, let me read from verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God is able to establish you. Now look at verse 17. Let's read together. How are they going to be established? Verse 15. Want to go? Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. How will they be established in every good word and work? By the gospel, by the preaching of God's word. As they hold fast to the traditions that they were taught. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 1 to 3 of the same 2 Thessalonians. Okay, 1 Thessalonians rather. Chapter 3. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. From verse 1 to 3. Establish. Men are established mainly by the gospel, by the teaching ministry. 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 to 3. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Hallelujah. That none should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. What was Timothy meant to go and do? In the midst of the afflictions and the persecutions they were going through, Timothy was meant to get there to encourage them. Hallelujah. That's what he meant by establishing them. So when he says that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, he was talking about the gospel first. Hallelujah. The gospel. So spirituals is first about the gospel. Look at how Peter also used the same word. The same word established, both in the Greek and English, is the same word. Peter also used the same word established for the gospel. Men are established only by the gospel. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. Look at this. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in what? And are established in what? In the present truth. What is the present truth? The gospel. Hallelujah. I learned, there are people who believe that the present truth is what God is saying to us now. Amen. So, present truth is the gospel. That is what God will keep saying till Christ comes. Amen. So, established. You see that it's by the gospel men are what? Established. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a good study of Romans 1:11 shows that part of what Paul was longing to go and impart to them is what he's already doing by his letter. Explaining and teaching them the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Now look at Romans. Romans, back to Romans. Hallelujah. The Romans, towards the close of his letter, he said certain things to them. And then I want to explain why he was hindered. Romans chapter 15, from verse 14 to 15. It says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. So this means, that was the reason why he said by the mutual faith. These guys that he's writing to are men who are what? Full of knowledge. Hallelujah. Full of knowledge, filled with all goodness, and are able to admonish one another. Glory to God. They are able to do what? To admonish. They are not babes in knowledge. Now, verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. So, Paul wrote more boldly. The word boldly there means to be more daring. Hallelujah. I'm sure that's more about the way Paul wrote about the Jews. Glory to God. The Jews and that, how that they do not have an extra or, you know, a peculiar access to God outside the gospel of Christ. So, he says, I've written more boldly. Now, look at verse 22. Romans 15, 22. It says, for this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. For what reason? Verse 20 to 21. And so, I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom it was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. Because Paul had made it his aim to preach the gospel in places where Jesus has not been named. That's the reason why he could not come to Rome. Praise God. So the interest is not that he wanted to come. Somebody blocked him. He was busy with regions where they hadn't preached the gospel. So he goes to verse 23 and says, but now, no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, and I hope to see you on my way, to see you on my journey, and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. So he was delayed because of his busyness with preaching the gospel in other places. You know, he wasn't the one that reached them. He says, I heard of your faith, and I was now praying to also see you, so I can also have some fruit among you, just as among other Gentiles. Glory to God. Now, it will seem as though all we are saying is that it's just the gospel that Paul wanted to preach to them. That's all the spirituals. But then, he now makes a statement at verse 27. Hallelujah. Is it 27 or 29? Yeah, 29. It says, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So that means there are certain things he could not impart to them via his letter. There are certain things he could send through letter, the message. There are things he could not send. And what are those things? Verse 19. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. Glory to God. Oh, let me start from verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. Mark the phrase. In word and what? In word and what? What can you send through letter? Can you send deed? Hallelujah. So in word and deed, whenever Paul was in the midst of men, you see things in word and in deed. Praise God. And he mentions the deeds in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel where Christ was not named. So that's what he refers to as the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. When I come to Rome, I will come with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Hallelujah. That means preaching the gospel with signs and wonders is preaching the gospel in its fullness. Signs are meant to accompany the word. Glory to God. So when he says that Romans 1:11, to impart to you spiritual gifts, he's talking about the gospel, right? And the signs that what? That follow. But realize this. This is very key. That the signs must follow. It mustn't be preaching signs. It should be signs being attendant to God's word. This is important. So spirituals begins with the gospel for the man in Christ. When I talk about the manifestation of the Spirit, or I'm thinking about the things of the Spirit, the first thing that should be in my mind is God's word. Hallelujah. We are going to experience the Spirit in this church. We should be talking about more attention to the gospel. That should be the first thing to cross your mind. More dedication, more devotion, more attention to the gospel. Because the gospel is the beginning of spirituals for you and I. Hallelujah. This is important. Glory to God. This is important. Now look at this. At Romans chapter 15, verse 27, Paul used the word pneumaticos again. Romans 15, 27. I'm walking you through this to let you see how that spirituals is not just about gift. It's about all that pertains to the Spirit. So at Romans 15, 27, it says, Paul says, it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. He's talking about the Jews. What are the spiritual things we partook of from the Jews? You know, he's talking about the fact that Jesus came from the lineage of the Jews. And then the apostles, all the apostles came from the Jews. So he says, we have been partakers of their spiritual things. And it's primarily about the gospel. Praise God. That's what we received. Hallelujah. The message of salvation. When Jesus was speaking with the woman by the well, she said to her, she said, we know what we worship. Salvation is of who? It's of the Jews. Hallelujah. We know what we worship because salvation belongs or is from the Jews. Glory to God. And he's talking about the person of Christ coming through the lineage of Abraham. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 15. Spirituals is about all that pertains to the Spirit. This is important to bear in mind that because spirituals is about all that pertains to the Spirit and it begins with the gospel, we must make a clear distinction between that which is of Christ and that which is not of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. 13 to 15. I mean, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Listen. When he says the things of the Spirit of God in verse 14, what is he talking about? The message. What does the natural man not receive? Does the natural man receive healing? Does the natural man receive signs and wonders? What is that thing the natural man does not receive? The gospel. So the things of the Spirit in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is about the message. Glory to God. That's why verse 13 says, these things we teach in words which, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, speaking spiritual things to spiritual people. Hallelujah. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. And that which the natural man does not have the capacity to receive is the gospel, the message, unless he receives conviction by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, things of the Spirit is not just about some things, gifts, manifestations. It's about the message first. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually what? This is not about healing or manifestation of signs and wonders. No. These are things you can only discern by the Spirit. The children of Israel, in their unbelief, in their most carnal state, received signs and wonders. The only thing they did not receive was the gospel. Hallelujah. So when you hear the things of the Spirit, your mind should first go to what? The gospel. The message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now to verse 15. It says, but he who is spiritual judges all things, he himself is not rightly judged by anyone. So the message is called spiritual, right? The things that follow it also, the signs and wonders are also what? Spiritual. The man receiving the message is also spiritual. Hallelujah. So pneumaticus is used for the man, is used for the message, is used for the signs and wonders. All that pertains to the Spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look at this other place. Oh Lord. Now, you know, at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, to really know that this was about the message, at verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You know, the first thing the Spirit does is to make us know. Before the things that we are receiving, there is the knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of those things. So the things of the Spirit begins with knowledge. And I've said it before, that is why the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth. Amen. He is first the Spirit of Truth. Before he is the Spirit of Prophecy, the Spirit of this and that. He is first the Spirit of Truth. He bears testimony and witness to Christ. Jesus says, and when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he shall testify of me. He shall glorify me. He shall take of what is mine and declare it to you. So it is first about the message. The things of the Spirit is first about the truth or the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, so because most times when people say, in that meeting, do they give room for spiritual things? Amen. Most times what they are talking about is power demonstration, manifestation of spirits, tongues, prophecy, people breaking chair, praise God, somebody falling down, and then some people will go for meetings and say, in that meeting, there was no spirit. Praise God. Say, what do you mean? They were just studying Bible. Praise God. Just reading scriptures. Nothing spiritual. So what is Bible study? Praise God. Are they giving room to the things of spirit in that place? I don't think so. Why do you think so? They just gather to be studying scriptures. When we gather to study scriptures, what are we doing? What are we giving room for? The spirit. The things of the spirit. Because it's in the message the Holy Ghost has free course. Hallelujah. It's in the message. That's why when men did not receive the truth, look at the rebuke. Or let me say the description. It says, you uncircumcised and stiff-necked men, you always resist the Holy Spirit. These were men that saw signs and wonders. But because they rejected the message, he says, they always resist the Holy Spirit. The men that ate the manna in the wilderness, he says, just as your fathers did. But they received manna, they received all the miracles. For resisting the message, he says, they resisted the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit is first about the message. Glory to God. And let's run through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Pneumaticus, 1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual, but as to carnal. You see that the word people there is also in italics. As unto spiritual, as unto men belonging to the Spirit. Pneumaticus. So you use the word spiritual for men. They are not carnal. They are only behaving like carnal men. Because at chapter 2 already says they are spiritual. That's the reason why they can receive things of spirit. So he says, I could not speak to you as spiritual men that you are, but as unto carnal men. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Pneumaticus. 1 Corinthians 9:11. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Paul is using the word spiritual things also for the ministry of the word. If we have sown to you, you know at Galatians chapter 6, he says, let him that teaches the word, let him that is taught the word, share with him that teaches in all good things. So if we have sown spiritual things to you, is it a bad thing to reap your material things? Paul never says men should give money in an exchange for miracles. It's about appreciating the ministry of the word. So spiritual things here also is about the message. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. This is very key. And you understand why Paul began his argument that way. Or let me say began his discourse that way. You see it soon. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. Pursue love and desire spirituals. Especially that you may prophesy. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14, 37. 1 Corinthians 14, 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man considers himself to be spiritual, so it's used for a man also. 1 Corinthians 15, 44 to 46. 1 Corinthians 15, 44 to 46 is used for an immortal body. Hallelujah. So you see, spirituals cover everything that pertains to the spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, 44 to 46 is used for our body. It is raised a spiritual body. The spiritual natural is not first, but the spiritual, also used for the man and the man in Adam and man in Christ. Now look at Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. This says, if any man is caught in a trespass, those who are what? Spiritual, let them restore in a spirit of gentleness. And I said to us, spiritual there is in the context of maturity. Amongst the saints, we can look at some men, just like the Corinthian church, and say, these ones are acting like carnal folks. These ones are spirit. They are mature spiritually. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, very key, the same word, pneumaticus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every pneumaticus blessing, every spiritual blessing. So you see, it's not just about some things. And when he says spiritual blessings here, it is not just about prophecy, gift of tongues, and all those manifestations of spirit. It's about all that we have in Christ, which he begins to mention: redemption, forgiveness, adoption, acceptance, and all that. So these are spiritual. Hallelujah. Spiritual things. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 19. Colossians 3:16. You see the phrase spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Pneumaticos. At Colossians 3:16, we see how that these are songs. These songs are called spiritual because they are based on the gospel. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, speaking and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Pneumaticos. Songs pertaining to the Spirit are songs that are based on the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now see this one. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. You know, I said to you that pneumaticos is not just about that which pertains to Christ, that which pertains to God. It could be about just any kind of supernatural. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Hallelujah. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against pneumaticos, host of wickedness. Hallelujah. Against spiritual host of wickedness. Pneumaticos. And then this time around, he's not talking about spiritual things in Christ. It's the same word. Things pertaining to the spirit. Things pertaining to wicked spirits. Hallelujah. And I'm saying to you that it's important for us to know that pneumaticals or supernatural or spirituals is not just about everything in God, in Christ. And it is key for Paul's audience because Paul is talking to Gentiles. Men who were given to idolatry before. So you see the reason why he started his argument that way. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. You see why he began to build up his argument the way he started. Now concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. And then he goes to verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to this what? To this what? 1 Corinthians 12 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to what? To these dumb idols. However you were led. Hallelujah. Paul is talking to a Gentile church. I don't want to be unaware or ignorant about the supernatural, about the spiritual realm. You guys realize that you were once led by dumb idols. The word led there is the same word used for being led of the Spirit. Ago, A-G-O, used at Luke chapter 4 verse 1. You find it at Galatians 5:18. It means to be, the same way we say we are led of God's Spirit. Paul says you were once led by dumb idols. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Very important. Very important. We are not just going through all these things for the sake of this. You will see the importance of making a clear statement about the supernatural. Because it is key. If you don't understand this, you might get missing or get lost in your pursuit of spiritual things. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Can I hear you read? Luke 4, 1. Jesus was what? Filled with the Spirit. Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. That's the word ago. That's the same word used to say to be led of idols. Galatians 5:18. What does it say? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under what? And do you know that when he says if you are led by the Spirit in there, he was talking about the activity of the Spirit, the fruit that should show evidences of walking in the Spirit. Even for Jesus, when he says he was led into the wilderness, the leading is from his mind. It's an influence upon his heart. That's why the word ago, as translated there, is the word that means to drive. Praise God. It means to do what? To drive. It means to drive. It also means to move or to impel or compel. And it speaks of the forces and influences on the mind. Listen, everywhere the Spirit, or anywhere the Spirit of God or any kind of spirit at all wants to influence men, it takes a hold of their minds. This is very key, because that's why we have been emphatic about the gospel. The leading comes through the mind. If the Spirit of God will lead a man, he must possess his mind. If the spirit of this world will possess a man, will lead a man rather, or direct his affairs, it will take possession of his mind. So they were led by idols because they submitted their minds. They worshipped idols. They devoted themselves to idols. They listened to things pertaining to idolatry, and their minds were compelled and led by these idols. That's the same way we are led of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Paul is starting his argument, and then he's showing them, in knowing about the spiritual, he says, you were once led by idols. Let's settle this. What is an idol? An idol is also a supernatural thing. Now listen, it's also a spiritual thing. Paul, in this same book, had mentioned it to them. 1 Corinthians 8. He mentioned it twice. In fact, at 1 Corinthians 8, it will seem as though Paul is saying, carry on, don't worry, an idol is nothing. But you see, he now mentioned another thing quickly to explain to them how that it's risky dabbling and, you know, fellowshipping with idols, in quotes. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8, from verse 1. So an idol is also spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. Praise God. Idolatry is also supernatural. Is it not supernatural? That's why one Baba will sit down in one place and be giving people charm to go and beat somebody. There are supernatural elements. We just read that Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, spiritual host of wickedness. So, at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 1, now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows not anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things, and through whom we live. Verse 7. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with consciousness of the idol, until now eat it as things offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. At 1 Corinthians 8, like I said to you, it seems as though Paul is saying, an idol is nothing. Let it go. Don't worry. The man that has a weak conscience is the one that will suffer. Anybody, if you are strong, just continue. Idol. Don't. Now, there are two things involved here. A man can partake of meat offered to idols, which is sold in the market. Amen. Not that you go to a shrine. Hallelujah. And then you sit down where they are doing rituals. You know, some Christians are so funny, they say, our pastor is taking us out to go and eat sacrifice. And then they gladly enjoy such things. And then they consider themselves to be doing what is right to show the power of God. That's a different thing entirely. Because at 1 Corinthians 10, Paul now cites a warning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 19. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10, 19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Verse 20, let's read together. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to and not to. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Is it possible for a believer to have fellowship with demons? That's what Paul is saying. Fellowship here is about the activities. You can have a sharing in demonic activities. Praise God. You can have a sharing in. So he says, an idol, I'm not saying an idol is anything, though. What I'm saying to you is, that thing they call an idol, there are spirits behind it. Whatever they sacrifice unto idols, they are sacrificing to who? To devils. Demons. So an idol is also supernatural. Do we agree with this? Idolatry also commands supernatural forces. Amen. Just as the gospel commands spiritual things, idolatry also commands what? Spiritual things. But they are to be distinguished. It's amazing that it seems like the Corinthian church were dabbling into idolatry. They were dealing with idols partly. Because at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul will give another warning to them. That's why he says, you know that you were once Gentiles, led by idols. So it seems they were also still having inclinations towards their past. Hallelujah. So at 2 Corinthians 6, he will give a warning again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 to 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? He's writing to them again. So, back to 1 Corinthians 12. So when he says, I don't want to be ignorant, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual things. You know you were Gentiles and you were led by idols. He now goes to verse 3 and says, therefore I make known to you, in the KJV he says, I give you to understand. I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now he says in verse 1, concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be what? Ignorant. And the first thing he wants them to know is at verse 3. I want you to understand first that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus what? Accursed. Hallelujah. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. What does it mean to call Jesus accursed? Glory to God. How does a man call Jesus accursed? Romans in chapter 9, verse 3. So the first thing Paul wants them to know concerning spirituals is that, see, nobody calling Jesus accursed is saying it by the Spirit of God. Amen. And the man that says Jesus is Lord must have confessed that by the Spirit of God. Are you still in church? So Romans chapter 9 and verse 3. How does a man call Jesus accursed? Romans 9, 3. Paul speaking, he says, brethren, I wish that I were accursed from Christ for my countrymen. I wish to be separated. I wish, of course, it's just a wish. Praise God. It's impossible. I could wish that he had so much passion for them. He could wish he could just be taken away from Christ so they would take it in. Just a wish. Now look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. That word accursed means anathema. It means to ban or it's communicate. It also means to shun or reject. Praise God. To shun or to what? To reject. At Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Glory to God. Glory to God. Galatians 1, 8 to 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be what? Let him be what? As we have said before, so now I say it again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be. What are we to do to that man? To reject him, to not receive him. Praise God. It should be accursed. Hallelujah. So, the man that says Jesus is accursed is a man that rejects Christ. Hallelujah. A man that what? Rejects Christ. Now the opposite is that the man says Jesus is what? Is Lord. Now how does a man reject Christ? He does not believe in the gospel. Amen. You know you can't say Jesus is Lord without believing in the resurrection. Bible says Jesus, God has made both Lord and Christ. And he was talking about the resurrection. So in Jesus' resurrection he became Lord of all. Matthew 28, he says, behold, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So he became Lord. Hallelujah. When David was to talk about the fact that Jesus is Lord, he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He was talking about his ascension. the resurrection. So a man must have faith in the gospel. That faith in the gospel is admitting that Jesus is Lord. To say Jesus is accursed is to not believe that Jesus rose again from the dead. You know that in Jesus' death, it became a curse for us. You know, they considered Jesus to be accursed on that cross. According to the law, any man that hung on a tree was considered to be cursed. So to say Jesus is accursed is to not believe he rose again. Hallelujah. Is to not believe he rose again from the dead. To say Jesus is Lord is to have faith in the gospel. So Paul wants them to realize, see. The things of the Spirit in Christ belong only to men who are in Christ. Belongs only to men who are born again. Those who have confessed that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. That is, you cannot seek the things of the Spirit pertaining to the Spirit in Christ outside the gospel. Because listen, there's a very thin line. We have just walked through scriptures to see. Supernatural is broad. If you get out of the gospel seeking supernatural, you are going into error. Hallelujah. So he's trying to let them see a distinction between supernatural in the world and supernatural in Christ. The dividing line is faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. Concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be ignorant. You were Gentiles, you were led by idols. I want to let you realize the dividing line between supernatural, that which is of Christ, and that which pertains to idolatry, is faith in the gospel. Hallelujah. And if a man seeks supernatural outside the gospel, he is going to cross a very thin line. Amen. He will do what? He will cross a very thin line. The line is thin. Power, miracles, signs and wonders, gospel. We don't have time. You are going to cross a very thin line because that supernatural realm here, the spirit that we're talking about, it could be of God, it could be a familiar spirit, it could be an unclean spirit. The spiritual realm is so vast. The only dividing line or the safe ground is faith in Christ, is the gospel. So the supernatural for the man in Christ must be explored only within the boundaries of the gospel. Amen. Only within what? The boundaries of the gospel. Hallelujah. That's why Paul took his time to explain all that. Amen. So in other words, Paul is saying that the faith of the Spirit of God begins with faith in Christ. Faith in what he has done. Because it's in the resurrection of Jesus that the Spirit of God was given. So there's no access to the Spirit or anything pertaining to the Spirit outside faith in what Christ has done. Because it's only in his resurrection he made the Spirit available. Hallelujah. It's in the resurrection he did what? He made the Spirit available. Isaiah prophesied it. Isaiah 32 and verse 15. Isaiah 32, 15. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there's no such thing as just seeking the supernatural. We are just passionate about supernatural. Power is our year of supernatural. And we do not have time for the gospel. You are trading slippery ground. Amen. Heard of a brother in this place who said at some point he was praying. He wanted to see the Holy Spirit. So he was praying. Mr. Sam. Not this time. So that was before he met the word. He said he was praying. He prayed fervent and he was in his room. Guess what? He got to a point. So he wanted it to happen. He now naked himself and lay flat on the bed and was praying. Holy, I want to see you. Appear to me physically. I'm not talking about spirit. I want a literal touch. I want it. Guess what? His door just opened. This is true life story. He said the door opened and he heard something walking towards him. He said he cannot forget as long as he lives. And not just that, the being sat down on the bed. And the bed pressed. He said he ran out of the house. Hallelujah. Hey. Show yourself, Lord. Show yourself. Something will appear. The only way you meet, the only place you meet God is in Christ. The only place you meet God is in the gospel. I'm not talking about unbelievers now. Even for you, a believer, the only place you want to contact the Spirit of God is in the gospel. Hallelujah. Get into a bush. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Fire on me, baba, baba, baba. Whoa. Something will show. And I put it to you, that something that will show is not the Spirit of God. Because God has given you the context of his own spiritual things. Hallelujah. The spiritual pertaining to Christ is about the gospel. You veer off the gospel, you can veer into many things. Some folks are far gone, they don't even know. Very diabolical things. They don't even know. That man, he said he cannot forget. He said the bed pressed, literally. So you were asking him to come and you could not wait. He said he ran out of the house. Glory to God. You stay in one room. If you want to have experiences of God, just feed on his word. Just feed on his word. Don't start with isolating yourself, sitting alone and saying it and meditating. Praise God. And then before you know it, a wind begins to blow. A wind is just blowing and you erode here by. Praise God. Because, see, the spiritual is so vast. There are spirits around. I do spirits. Looking for work. I do. Without calling them, they are looking for work. You are now calling. Praise God. Appear, appear. I want to see, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. Buy a book on angels. And the angels, you will see angels, you will be scared. Glory be to God. Angels that look like witches. You'll be scared. They are not of God. Fallen angels roaming around looking for whom to devour. Praise God. And you just invite them in. Like Abraham brought those guys. Hallelujah. Those ones are real angels. Angels of God. But that's how you will invite them. Because the supernatural is what? It's broad. It's a vast. That's why Ephesians 6:12 says, spiritual host of wicked is the same word, pneumaticus. It can be of God, it can be of the devil. Amen. Listen, by the Spirit of God, a man can prophesy. By the spirit of demons, a man can also give prophecy. Amen. That's why we are not moved just by signs and wonders. You get to a place, that man, Ogbono, what is he saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? What is he preaching? We are not just fascinated about signs. Because the dividing line in the world of the supernatural is the gospel. That's the dividing line. Remove the gospel, there's no definite supernatural. We can't be sure what you are doing or what you are dabbling with. Praise God. All manner of strange things will creep into the midst. When men begin to pursue supernatural at the expense of God's word. Glory to God. I give you to understand, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Isaiah 32:15. I said to you that the prophets prophesied about the Spirit as something that would come in the New Testament. Because Jesus made the things of the Spirit accessible and available only when he rose again from the dead. So it's confessing that fact, that reality that gives you access into his own spiritual. Praise God. Isaiah 32. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could tell this tale. I will reserve this. I wish I could tell this tale. Because I remember years back, I'll tell it in full later, that I began to have some powerful experiences, spiritual. And that was the first time. And then, amazingly, I was not even learning about all these things. I was just hearing God's word. And then I began to, I said to you that the leading is from the mind. Once the mind is well impressed, manifestations will begin to come. You begin to be inclined to spiritual things. Amen. You begin to get inclined to spiritual things. Demons don't influence men outside their minds. That's the same way the Spirit of God also influences us, only via our mind. Hallelujah. Only via our mind. Once the mind of a man is influenced by the Spirit, and that's why the message is the spiritual that works out every other thing. Because it is by the message your mind will be renewed. Praise God. Until your mind is renewed by the word, you can't be sure whatever you're walking in. Hallelujah. Isaiah 32:15. So I'm going to share it later. I'm going to share it in the course of the teaching. It's so important. The world of the supernatural is so vast, and men can be crazy about all kinds of supernatural without caution. They get into trouble. Isaiah 32:15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. This is a prophecy concerning the New Testament. Amen. About the New Testament. Spirit being poured out. Isaiah 44:3 also, you find it. Let's go to Joel 2. Joel 2:28. The Spirit poured out is also about the new covenant. Hallelujah. Spirit poured out is also about what? The new covenant. Joel 2. Joel 2:28. Hallelujah. Joel 2:28. Prophecy concerning the outpouring of the Spirit. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Hallelujah. And Luke 3:16. Luke 3:16. John the Baptist also prophesied it. He says Jesus is going to baptize men with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke 3:16. Jesus also spoke about it. John 7. Look at John 7. It's in the resurrection. Jesus makes his own Spirit, and the things pertaining to his own Spirit available to men. Praise God. So you cannot find the things of the Spirit outside the gospel of Christ. It's impossible. Hallelujah. It's impossible. John 7. You know, some time ago, a friend of mine, we used to learn to play drums together. So one day he was here, and then we were talking, then he said, right from his childhood, he's been endowed with supernatural powers. And that if it's raining, he could just come out and point out his hand and say, stop, and then the rain will stop. He said he has seen a lot of miracles right from childhood. He was not born again. He said he was not a believer, but he was seeing power consistently. As he was talking, I was just looking at it. He thought it was wowing me. I was afraid for him. Praise God. I said, really? Miracles? Real miracles? And you were not born again? You are possessed. Hallelujah. You cannot be walking in supernatural things without being born again and assume that is of God. Glory to God. It's impossible. Like I said to you, the world of supernatural is so vast. One of the pioneers of a major denomination in Nigeria or in Africa said he went to the bush to pray, and in the bush a monkey appeared to him and gave him something. Hallelujah. I don't want to mention the name because I've not verified it. When I verify it, I'll mention the name on tape. Praise God. He said a monkey appeared and gave him something. That's why in that denomination, all kinds of strange manifestations. Amen. Hallelujah. They will be holding the man. Hallelujah. They will be holding the man. The Spirit is upon him. Is that not like Shango? Amen. All manner of spirits. Somebody will just fall and be in the Spirit for 21 days. Nobody can bring him down. In that denomination, the spirits of the prophets are not subject to anybody, not even God. God cannot control him. Praise God.
So, you know, don't that one too is spirit. So the spirit is vast. Glory to God. In those days, you go and preach in a place, as you are preaching like this, somebody will just say, stop preaching. Stop preaching. Oh, stop preaching. Ah, and you must honor it. So you keep quiet. Then he says, God wants us to. Somebody wanted to move it here when I started pastoring. It was too funny. He said, nobody is going home. Nobody is going home. I said, we are going home. Praise God. He said, nobody is going home. Then anoint all the children. I said, we don't even use anointing for here. Anoint whose children? Are they your children? Praise God. We just silenced that, walked that away. Praise God. All kinds of spirits. You don't even have respect. You see a pastor, you are giving me order. You know, in those kind of settings, there's no respect, there's no recognizing authority. Who do you think you are? We should not go home. Do you want to go and steal our television? Hallelujah. Have you planned with some people to go and raid our houses? We should not go home. Glory to God. We shall go home. And we went home. Praise God. Hallelujah. John chapter 7. The spirit is vast. So before you get into trouble, you must stay on the safe ground of the gospel. Amen. I'm going to share a lot about strange fire in this meeting or in this teaching, which is very rampant. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this is spoken concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because what? Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus' glorification is about his resurrection and ascension. And that means it's upon his glorification, the Holy Ghost is made available. When he says, he who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, he's not saying that there's a scripture that says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What he referred to as the scriptures have said is the believing. He who believes according to the scriptures, from him shall flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water is Jesus' own coinage. But what the scriptures collectively said men should do is to believe. So Isaiah says, who has believed our report? Jesus rebuked the disciples, all fools and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have said. So he who believes according to the scriptures, from him shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. John 14, 16 to 17. The Spirit is given only in the gospel. So a man that does not fancy the gospel, does not regard the gospel, cannot be said to be walking in Jesus' spirituals. Hallelujah. It's impossible. John 14, 16 to 17. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John 14, 16, 17, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. He dwells in you, dwells with you, and he will be where? In you. Luke 24, 49. The Spirit is given upon Jesus' glorification. Luke 24, and verse 49. Luke 24, 49. Hallelujah. Okay. Luke 24, 49. Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with what? With power from on high. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 8. It's in Jesus' resurrection the Spirit is made available. Acts 1, 4 to 8.
Jesus speaking, and Bible says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive... after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. So for the apostles, listen, the things of the Spirit began when they received the Holy Ghost, which is the fruit of Jesus' resurrection. Hallelujah. That is the only access to the Spirit. Glory to God. That is the only access to the Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 14. Peter also teaches it the same way. Acts 2, 14 to 18. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, then I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Look at verse 32 to 33. The Spirit of God is available only in the gospel. Amen. Acts 2, 32 to 33. Bible says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So the promise is given because Jesus has been glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38. These are common scriptures in the midst. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul at Romans chapter 8 verse 9, he says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. The Spirit of Christ is available to men who believe in the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1, 13 to 14. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Titus chapter 3. The Spirit of God is the fruit of Jesus' resurrection, his glorification, his redemptive work. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, 4 to 7. Glory be to God. Titus 3, 4 to 7. Bible says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly, through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of what? Of eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 So what separates spirituals in Christ and the others is what? The gospel. Amen. The gospel. Remove the gospel, there will be no clear-cut distinction about the supernatural, or between supernatural in Christ and supernatural in the world. A place where the gospel is not enthroned, and the gospel is not exalted, and the gospel is not esteemed, is a place where people cannot put a check on signs and wonders. You don't even know which is which. Amen. You don't know who is using what. Because it is not by the word, it is not by the gospel of Christ, it is just doing signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Wouldn't I be shocked in this church if I say anybody that has jazz on him should come out, and then Sam now comes, Perez comes? Wouldn't I be shocked? Praise God. But you know, there are places in this country where you step into a place, a church, you say, anybody using jazz, and elders will find out to go and surrender. like they did in Ephesus, elders in church. Just because the gospel is not what they esteem. So men will look for supernatural elsewhere. You will go and pray and fast and meet something. Another person will go and have another encounter. It encounters in different places because we are not esteeming the gospel. It is the gospel that gives a clear-cut distinction between supernatural in Christ and supernatural elsewhere. Hallelujah. You won't know when you're already operating familiar spirits. Glory to God. So, Paul is saying to the Corinthians how that see, the basis for functioning in things of the Spirit is our faith in Christ, our faith in the gospel. Don't miss this. You guys were idols. You said idols, you were into idolatry. That means you must have had supernatural experiences. You must have seen things. So, the difference with this one is that it is by faith in the gospel. Amen. That's the difference. You don't say, everything is the same. You just see your ex occult members, they come into church, and the man also begins to manifest. You just say, Arawani, praise God, we are all spiritual. No. There's a difference now. In Christ, the supernatural is determined by the message of Christ. Glory to God. Otherwise, we are going to permit all kinds of things. Any passion, desire, emphasis on power and science outside the gospel is strange fire. You are caught in trouble. Hallelujah. We are caught in trouble. Praise God. I'm hungry this night. Can you come and turn this microphone to bread? Say, oh yeah, let me bring it. Let me labor in the name of Jesus. In conscience here. Praise God. Do you think the reason why Jesus multiplied bread was because he just wanted to show off? There was no money. Hallelujah. There was no what? And they were in the wilderness. And there was a need. It's the same way Moses brought water from the rock. When there was a need. Not that there's a full tank in this church and you're still striking this wall. Praise God. We need to test you. So people are looking for strange manifestations. They say, Pastor, you are tired of it. Sit down. We'll keep hearing the message. You don't need to talk. Hallelujah. All manner of strange things. Look at this one. Oh, dear. Oh, deep. Hallelujah. I still saw a post. Someone sent to me. Said, disappearing and appearing for me is normal. People see it regularly. I disappear in meetings. I disappear anyway. I said, Kepo, it's too deep. Amen. I do not even doubt that it's disappearing. I'm not just sure the power behind it. That's all. It cannot happen. No. It can happen. It is happening. Hallelujah. But one day, a bay that is carrying you everywhere. You don't know Egbe carries people. It's African tradition. Glory to God. Which of the disciples of Jesus did you see just disappearing here and there? So Paul could disappear. He crashed with the ship. Amen. You don't understand. That means he was not intelligent. He had the power to just disappear. And he waited. He now began to write letter. Praise God. Peril of sea, peril of rubber, peril of sea, peril of rivers, peril of... So you could disappear. He could not. Hallelujah. Chief, no, wait. Some of these guys who make all these claims, do you think they will have written things like that? Because they will not even be there. One man said they came to stop our meeting. As they were coming with cutlass, I just told them, stand still. All of them just gone back. Praise God. It's the great power of God. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul, they carried him like this. They beat him. He was chesting it. They beat him. He ran into the city. They stoned him. They dragged him. He had wounds all over his body. He went to the Corinthians in fear and trembling. He didn't understand the power of God. Hallelujah. I do not doubt that those things can happen. What I'm saying is, it is not by the gospel. You have ventured into something else entirely because the supernatural in Christ is by the gospel and it has Bible patterns. Amen. Did you hear that? It has what? Bible patterns. Not they wanted to arrest somebody. Your flyer, your picture on the flyer began to talk. You see all those things. Amen. I don't know about that. An angel can appear and rescue, but a picture on the flyer. Praise God. Oh manna. Is it that the testifier was lying? Whatever. The gospel has Bible kinds of signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Bible kind. It has a track record. There's a pattern. Hallelujah. Necessity. Now look at this. So pneumaticus, like I said to you, is things pertaining to spirits, any kind of spirit, whether it's spirit of God or any spirit, anything supernatural. That's why Paul wanted them to know that there's a difference. Glory to God. There's what? The word pneuma itself, which is the word from which pneumaticus is derived, the word pneuma itself, which is the word for spirit, is for all kinds of spirits. That's why one has to be very careful. It's not just dabbling into spiritual things. If you want to get into any spiritual thing as a Christian, where should you go? God's word. Prayer. Hallelujah. Let God's word inspire prayer. It must be first about the gospel. Glory to God. Look at this now. Matthew chapter 3. Let's see a few places. Matthew chapter 3. Pneuma, which is the word translated spirit, can be for any kind of spirit. Any kind of spirit. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3. And verse 16. We keep hearing strange things every day. And it's important to address these things because if we don't, people are going to get carried away and distracted. Men are no longer passionate about the gospel. But they are so passionate about signs and wonders. So how do you want to do it? According to Paul, signs and wonders should be subject to the message. Amen. Signs and wonders should be what? Subject to the message. Matthew 3:16. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, the Spirit of God, pneuma. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, by the Spirit of God, pneuma. Mark 1:21. The same word. Mark 1:21. I've gone over this before, but let's go over it again. And we'll still go over it next time. Mark 1:23. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. The same word pneuma. This time around, unclean spirit. In fact, the book of Mark, the spirit, mostly is about unclean spirits. Hallelujah. Because Jesus was always casting out devils in the book of Mark. Mark 1:26. Hallelujah. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him, he cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. The same word, pneuma, unclean spirit. Mark 3:30. Unclean spirit. Pneuma. So manifestations of spiritual things is not anything in itself a proof that God is at work. It could be just any spirit. Hallelujah. Mark 3:30. Bible says, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Amen. They said he had an unclean spirit for all the mighty works he was doing. They said he was doing it by the spirit of Beelzebub. So look at Mark 5:2. Mark 5:2. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. The same word, pneuma. Mark 5:8. Pneuma. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. The same word. Mark 7:25. Unclean spirit. Just like pneumaticus. It could be of God. It could be of Satan.
Spirit can also be of God, can be of the devil. Mark 7:25. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Unclean spirit, pneuma. Mark 9:17. Hallelujah. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. A mute spirit. Praise God. A mute spirit. And that spirit also is about pneuma. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit. The word unclean spirit, then deaf and dumb spirit in both places is about this same thing, pneuma. Then the spirit cried out, the same word. So it could be unclean spirit, it could be the spirit of God. Look at Acts of Apostles. Acts of Apostles chapter 2. So we are not crazy about just any kind of supernatural. I've always been very investigative. Ever since I met the word, I've always been very investigative. I go to a place and I see power, I'm always very investigative. What is the message here? Hallelujah. What is what? What is the message here? What are they preaching? When I hear what they preach, then I can now take a seat or walk out. I'm always investigating. Always. Hallelujah. Always. No matter how spectacular, how supernatural it appears, I always weigh the message. Once the message of Christ is not exalted in there, whether it's of God or not, you're not getting the point. I'm not saying it's of the devil. I'm just saying I'm not sure. So because a believer can walk in things of the Spirit without being emphatic about the gospel, if he's just praying and reading the Bible, whatever things he knows, and he commits himself. So, but the point is, I cannot be sure. Amen. I cannot trust whatever is happening there. It's at that point in time we will say, Allah, no many tons soon. Praise God. Do you understand what? Only God knows those who are serving him in such places. But when I get to a place where they are preaching the gospel and I see God walking out things and reaching out to people and people are getting healed, then I'm saved because I know the message. Hallelujah. The message is what shows me the source. So when the message is absent, it may be God. But I do not know. I cannot discern beyond that point. Are you getting it? I cannot. I cannot discern beyond that point, beyond the message. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every. For there are many false spirits that have gone out in. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is Lord is of the Antichrist. And when he says, does not admit that Jesus has come in the flesh, he's talking about spirits that do not confess the redemptive work of Christ. Because what Jesus came to do in the flesh is the work of salvation. Every spirit that does not emphasize and admit that is not to be trusted. So I don't know the source of the miraculous. Hallelujah. Whether it is of God or Satan, I cannot tell. So, but I can tell when a man begins to exalt Jesus and talks about the gospel and begins to magnify the work of Christ, then I can tell the power at work. But the moment we remove the gospel, my discernment is blurred. I don't know which is which. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, a man that rejects, that ignores the gospel, we can't trust whatever is happening there. This is very important. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and verse 4. Pneuma, spirit, could be of God, could be of Satan. Acts 2:4. Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's pneuma, spirit of God. Acts 2:17-18, the same. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's the spirit of God. Acts 8:29. Look at this one. Acts 8:29. Glory to God. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake these chariots. Is that the spirit of God or the spirit of any? That's the spirit of God. Abi? Now look at verse 39. Hallelujah. Verse 39. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord did what? Caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. Can we trust this manifestation? Because Philip was preaching what? Also, do you realize that Philip had been taken far away with the chariot? In those days, you know they used to walk. Not that today you have Jeep. After you preached, you have Range Rover to drive. You now say, Spirit, catch me. Praise God. See, in those days, they were walking. So the man was walking. He must have been tired. He got on the chariot. They drove him miles. And then by the time he was done with this, the Spirit just helped him. Praise God. And then he found himself in another city and kept preaching. So we can trust the manifestation. Amen. It doesn't mean that the Holy Ghost now gave them again, praise God, something to disappear at will. No. Paul and Silas were arrested and they were in jail and they could not leave. In fact, Peter's own is more dramatic. He was in jail such that he was sleeping. An angel now came and said, "Oga, let's go." And then he followed the angel. And then he thought he was dreaming. He did not believe it. Praise God. He thought it was dreaming. He said, "I can't imagine real." Praise God. He quickly ran to his people. So, you know, if they were supermen in the sense that people boast about themselves today, they wouldn't have all those experiences. Hallelujah. And when he got to that place and the person came and he was knocking, the person came and said, "Oh yeah, Peter is at the ghetto." He just quickly waved to them, said, "They've released me. I'm going." And he ran to another city. Because there's no supernatural thing to just make you disappear anytime. It does not exist. It is not in Christ. Amen. Jesus says, if they persecute you in one city, do what? He didn't say disappear. Flee. That is, you run with your leg. Hallelujah. You run with your leg. Stephen was being stoned to death and he died. They stoned him. The only supernatural thing was that he saw Jesus. Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. He could not disappear. But we have boys today, praise God, who disappear at will. And I'm saying to you, I do not doubt that it is happening. But we know by the word of God, hallelujah, that this is not the Spirit of God. Amen. This is not what? So don't be moved by signs. I grow hands at will. Just stretch your hand now. It will reach that altar. Just all this nonsense. You are idle. Praise God. That is not the Spirit of God. And we're going to see this carefully from next week. There's an operation of, there's a way the Spirit of God operates. Hallelujah. Which is the reason why he's writing this to them. He's showing them how to know the difference between the things of Christ, the spirituals of God, and the spirituals that could be of any other spirit. And he's going to show them the kind of things to look out for. There's the kind, that's why I said there's a Bible pattern. Glory be to God. So we are not in the dark. You can't say, if God had told us, I would have known. No, there's sufficient evidence to be guided in your quest for walking in the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you play by the rules, you will never go off track. Acts of Apostles now, chapter 10. We have to send these guys packing from our areas. If I find any false prophet or sorcerer in the name of Jesus, whether I call himself Christocentric or devil-centric, if I find him in my area, I'm going to send him packing. Such men are dangerous. Hallelujah. Very dangerous men. Because at the end of the day, you know what they do for people? They turn their focus from the gospel. And the man is just crazy for signs. Crazy about signs. How many souls have you won today? How many people have you preached today? I've not preached. So, what have you been doing? I want to make sure this pulpit just goes. Oh God, you're wasting precious time. You're wasting precious time. Hallelujah. You're wasting precious time. What was the instruction? Go into the world and do what? Preach. That's the instruction. Not go into the world and entertain people and try to do things. Go and preach. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles 10. Look at verse 19. While Peter talked about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." So this is the Spirit of God also. Acts of Apostles 11:28. The same word, pneuma. Acts 11:28. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the whole world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. So Agabus prophesied by what? The Spirit of God. Now look at this. Acts 16:16-18. There was another prophet that was not the prophet of God, who also got it accurately. Hallelujah. Acts 16:16-18. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of what? Divination. A spirit of divination met us, who brought our masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. She got it right. These are the servants of God. Hallelujah. And she was speaking it by what? By the spirit of divination. These are the servants of God. One day I was traveling to Ghana and we got to Cotonou, and as we packed our bus waiting to settle the custom, one man just walked up to us dressed in a red cloth and cowries and was just coming. He got to the bus and he pointed at the woman and said, "The name of your brother is this," and he got it right. "The name of your brother is this and this," and he got it right. And he looked at another man and he said, "You ate this last night," and he got it right. Hallelujah. And people were in awe. He said, this sorcerer, praise God. He can get it right. Because the realm of the spirit is vast. Glory to God. Satan can see the future. He can't see the things that pertain to God, that pertain to Christ, where the future is concerned. But he can prophesy. He can talk about who is going to win the next match. Amen. He can talk about the person that will win the election. Sometimes he's even the one masterminding the election. So he knows who will win. He has moved in the hearts of men to rig. He knows who will win. So he can tell you what the future is. Amen. People who walk with familiar spirits, sometimes some of them, that's why I fear any preacher that says, "I can just look at you like this and see things." But he wedge you. Praise God. But do you know the meaning of wedge you? Because, the Spirit of God has regard for people's privacy. Amen. God only reveals that which we need to know for the sake of ministering to men. Not that I'm just walking like this and my eyes is like X-ray. Praise God. I'm just seeing things. No. God reveals things to me for the sake of ministering to the person. Hallelujah. For the sake of ministry. So, when you see all those kind of strange signs, it's a caution. It's a caution. Hallelujah. It's a caution. So, this woman, by the spirit of divination, was saying the right thing. Saying the right thing. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Look at this one. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Two main events in the book of Acts. So as Gentiles that Paul was writing to, they had supernatural experiences through devotion to what? Idolatry. And Paul needed them to know that there's a distinction. And that distinction is the gospel. The way to explore the supernatural in Christ is by devotion to the gospel. Both preaching the gospel and receiving the gospel. Hallelujah. Preaching the gospel and what? And receiving the gospel. That is how we enjoy the supernatural. Outside that context, forget it. The line is blurred. Acts of Apostles chapter 8 and from verse 5. Glory to God. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of men who were possessed, and men who were paralyzed, and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Bible says they did what? They heeded the things Philip said, because they saw signs and wonders. Ah, this man is great. Guess what? That was the same way they listened to Simon. So before Philip got to the land, there was a man doing things there, and because of it, they listened. When Philip got there, another signs and wonders, they listened to. They didn't know the difference. Hallelujah. In fact, the kind of accolades they gave to Simon, they didn't give Philip. Amen. So, see what they call Simon now? Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Hallelujah. But boy, great power of God. They submitted. Because outside Christ, you don't know the difference. Glory to God. You don't know the difference. Bible says, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 19 too. Verse 9 to 20. Acts of Apostles 19. Verse 9 to 20. This is so important. Acts 19, 9 to 20. But when some were adding and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles. Now, in what environment was God working unusual miracles? The gospel. Hallelujah. God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also took it on themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Hallelujah. This became known to both the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was what? Magnified. Verse 18, let's read together. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of them who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of what? Of silver. So mightily grew the word of God. And what? You know, for people to burn resources or materials of over 50,000 pieces of silver, you know, it's not small money. How much did they use to betray Jesus? 30 pieces. So 50,000 pieces is not small money. Hallelujah. There was a revival in the land. But what am I saying? Because they were Gentiles, they had been given to sorcery, magic, evil practices. And they were excelling in it. We saw Simon, the sorcerer. He had astonished people. Such a man now becomes a Christian. You know, we have to teach him concerning supernatural in Christ. We must let him know there's a distinction, and that the dividing line is the gospel. The moment you explore it outside the gospel, you are looking for trouble. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me begin to close. Mark 16, 15 to 20. The gospel. The moment men begin to explore the supernatural outside the context of the gospel, they are already looking for trouble. There will be strange fire. Hallelujah. Strange fire. That is the first thing Paul wanted the Corinthians to know. Everyone speaking by the Spirit of God is the one that says Jesus is Lord. Anyone that rejects Christ does not have a part in this matter. Does not have any part in this thing called spirituals as pertaining to Christ. Hallelujah. Does not. You cannot de-esteem the gospel of Christ and be experiencing Christ. It's impossible. If you de-esteem the gospel of Christ, you have de-esteemed the very thing that pertains to Christ. So you cannot experience the things of Christ while de-esteeming his work. It's impossible. Mark 16. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. And I'll read from verse 15. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you want to enjoy the supernatural? Then, have a dogged commitment to the gospel of Christ. A dogged commitment. We want to see more spirituals, manifestations of the Spirit. We must have a dogged commitment to the gospel, because that is the only way to explore Jesus' kind of supernatural. Hallelujah. Mark 16 from verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every... Did he say go into the world and preach signs? Did he say go and preach signs and wonders? Did he say go and preach many things? What should you go and preach? The gospel. Hallelujah. To every creature, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and these signs will follow them that what? Believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will drink. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover. Guess what? The apostles now got into Jerusalem and Judea, and they were saying, come out, everybody that is sick, let us lay. Is that what they did? Hallelujah. I have power. No. I can disappear. I can turn to blood. I can... They got busy with the assignment. Go and preach. Amen. Now look at verse 20 or verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 20, let's read together. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with. The Lord doing what? The Lord walking. There's no them. Hallelujah. The Lord walking with. Huh? Is there them? It's in italics. What is the Lord walking with? The message. They went everywhere, the Lord walking with and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Hallelujah. What the Lord walks with is the word. So they knew that. So they went everywhere preaching the word. Because the word is what the Lord works with. That's why I said to you, when a man is not esteeming the gospel, I cannot trust what is happening there. Because I know from the word of God that what God works with is the word. God does not confirm the man of God. Have you noticed? What does God confirm? The word. Hallelujah. I'm a man of God. God has confirmed. God is not confirming men. Confirms his word through signs and wonders. Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed by, who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How did Jesus go about? Huh? Mark chapter 1. How did Jesus go about? You know, when they even called him to come and turn water to wine, he said, my hour has not come. Praise God. He didn't say that with preaching. He said, what is my own with this woman? Praise God. My time has not come now. He was reluctant. But he was eager to preach. Mark chapter 1. Glory to God! Mark's Gospel chapter 1. It is by the word. Hallelujah. By the word. I see that a lot of people don't have faith in the fact that God walks through the word. Amen. That we could be on the streets tonight preaching Christ and preaching the word and preaching Christ and things will happen. People don't believe that. So you want us to use some other means. It's just the word. Mark 1:15. Glory to God. Mark chapter 1 verse 15. Hallelujah. Mark 1:14. He says from verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and what? And believe in the gospel. He went preaching. Amen. Look at verse 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and did what? In thought. Hallelujah. And did what? In thought. Glory be to God. And did what? Look at verse 35. Hallelujah. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they had found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Verse 38, let's read together. But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Hallelujah. How did Jesus go about preaching? Luke 4:18. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. It is first about preaching. You shall receive power and the Holy Ghost will come upon you and you shall be witnesses to me. So they got busy with the assignment of what? Preaching. Because they need, by the word of God, we experience God's own supernatural. Hallelujah. So concerning the things of the Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. You must not be ignorant of the fact that the spiritual realm is vast. It could be anything. The only dividing line is the gospel. Hallelujah. The only dividing line is what? Is the gospel. Lift your hands and give him praise. We'll continue from here next week. The only dividing line is the gospel. An obsession for signs and wonders, power, manifestations of the Spirit without an obsession for the gospel is strange fire. It is strange fire. An obsession for signs and wonders and manifestations, miracles, without a passion to preach the gospel is strange fire. Your obsession should be about the word. About the word, not about anything. The apostles were addicted to preaching the gospel. Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Therefore, let us give the more earnest ear to the things we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip away. For if the word spoken by angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him, God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Signs are meant to be accompanying the gospel. They don't come first. Signs accompany the word. The word first and then signs following. That is the order. The moment you remove this order, you blur the line between that which pertains to Christ and that which pertains to the devil. We won't know the difference between whatever you are doing, between what is Christ and what is of the world. We won't be able to distinguish between the spirit of Christ at work and the spirit of demons. The gospel is the only thing that helps and aids our discernment for spiritual things. The gospel alone. The gospel alone. The gospel alone. The gospel alone. Kalabala Shugabara Dede Torgiba Shugabara Katila Gala Dede Te Gelo Tola Glakla Clari Dishka Paradine Dele Teletina Teletini. Hey, you gala bashaka tabala gala tuli geliata. Pray the Holy Ghost a while like Gabashaka Balagala Tila Geredeni Dile Brodiata. Lemono Supra Diabalaka Tusu to Fele Tirke ni de Gele de Nedi Ledia Egata Katakata Katalia de la Bruga Bashakata. Papa Turgiba La Savla Gito Mano Tilgena no Vrigibasa. Zelu Turia Gabalas Cuperia de la Calundo Super de Linda, Egatula Taluta, Gananoska Parata, Igidia, Gidia, Gidia, Glenduska. Oh, Jesus! Oh, Praga Bashakata, La Gala, Haraga Bashakata. How we love your name, Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name. And how we love your name, Jesus, you're a beautiful one. We love your name. Oh, how we love you. How we love your name, Jesus, you're a beautiful one. We love your name. Oh, how we love you. How we love you, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. Oh, how we love you. How we love you. Oh,
love the fragrance of your holy name.
You came and brought us.
Beautiful one, we love you. Pray while you Shalamala dela gala mana jere barada. Hela mere gere mano shera barade le baradia. Jelanda ke lande braninda serata. Rane kale male dare ayana. Shona mera tone bere jere yana. Hela kala mano shera barade la baradiana. Jara dela de gaba de la mozo to barada. Hela tele kolombo no shera barade. Freta barade la marade. Ila betina dekana neshara de, yena na de de kolo suta balene, kalura tenera da nera na de aera, yena aera gira mena gira barani, hola de yo na de barani, shuru da de de kolo na de na gira na de ya, juri na bere da de ga nere na de ya, shona da kena da gira bana da de bare de la banda na de. Prana para de nemono zarena, jeri de nemono jutu por katane, jega de na cadeira balandela da, juna de na de baradela da, era dono jutu com bolo juta baradela gata la sata, ela queira mana gata la gala bolo juta baradela, ela bela queira no dono sata baradela, jena de na jela de na de, jena da, jena da, jena da, jena da, jena da, Lord, your glory fills this atmosphere. Lord, your glory fills this atmosphere. As we sing, as we praise, it fills this atmosphere. As we sing, as we praise, hey, it fills this. Lord, your glory,
Lord, your glory,
Lord, your glory, Lord, your glory, Lord, your glory, is atmosphere. As we sing, as we praise, oh, it fills this atmosphere. As we sing, as we praise, oh, it feels, Lord, your glory, Lord, your glory fills this atmosphere. Lord, your glory fills this atmosphere. As we sing, as we pray, it feels. It feels this atmosphere.
We're going to see signs and wonders, miracles, wonders, the power of God in manifest, the power of God in demonstration, as we keep arousing the gospel. Everywhere we take the gospel to, the power of God will be evident. The gospel itself, which is the power of God, will usher in miraculous powers. Men will see. We need not seek any other formula or method. It's about the gospel. It is by the gospel the miraculous is ushered in. We walk in the glory of the Father. We walk in the glory of the Father. We walk in the glory of the Father. We walk in the glory of, even as we arouse the truth of God's word, we will preach, pray, and prophesy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We're walking in the glory of the Lord. Good times are here. Oh, good times are here. Good times are here. We're walking in the glory of the Lord. Good times are here. Good times are here. Good times are here. Oh, good times are here. We're walking in the glory of the Lord. Good times. Say good times are here. Good times are here. Good times are here. We're walking in the glory of the Lord. Good times are here. Good times. Say good times are here. Good times are here. Oh, good times are here. We're walking in the glory of the Lord. Hey, good times. Healing the sick. Confirming in His word. Hey, thank you for the laughter. Oh, He's healing the sick. Healing the sick. Confirming. Confirming in His word. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the laughter. Hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for the latter rain. Healing the sick, Lord. Healing the sick. Confirming your word. Thank you for the latter.
Thank you for
the latter. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the rain. Hey, hey. Thank you for the latter rain. Healing the sick. Healing the sick. And confirming in His word. Thank you for the latter.
Thank you
for the latter rain. Hallelujah. 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 So we continue. Next week, Wednesday, the manifestation of the Spirit. On Sunday, we're going to continue our teaching, Kerygma, how the gospel was proclaimed. Meeting is dismissed. Hallelujah. Healing in the sick, confirming in the word. Thank you for the latter.
Thank you for the latter.
Oh,
healing the sick, healing the sick, confirming. Thank you for the latter.
Thank you for the latter
breath. Oh, healing the sick, healing the sick. Yeah, yeah. Confirming the word. Thank you for the latter
rain. Hallelujah.